BeastNet is brought to you by James Safety Services and in partnership with Beast OCR. Here we discuss all things OCR and fitness related: running, endurance, conditioning, wrecking, and more. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, it's Mike with BeastNet here, and on this episode we have Julia Strive with us. How you doing, Julia?
I'm doing good.
Right on. So for those that don't know Julia, go ahead. Why don't you let everyone know a little bit about you?
I started running with Jason in 2015 on Mother's Day. Montana was my first one.
Yep.
I have parents, a couple kids. They're grown. I have a couple grandkids. Worked for the state for 31 and a half years, and now I'm a package handler for UPS.
Nice. So when you run your street team, so you volunteer a lot and get pre-races kind of like I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because that's how we've met most of the time. We've met on street team, and then we've met on a couple courses together. So one thing we wanted to talk about is Kimberly. So I know Kimberly was just this past weekend. So kind of give us an idea about Kimberly, because I keep hearing horror stories of both last year and not as many this year as I did last year. But give us kind of a, let us know about Kimberly.
You better like to climb a lot.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
I think the only difference between last year and this year was the heat, honestly.
Yeah,
I mean, we were doing some serious ascents and descents. The sprint was a little different because we kind of went up and down two shorter versions twice. And last year it was like one long climb. This year, I thought this was great. The guy at the top, you're almost to the top. And this elderly lady yelled back, "Is that you, God?"
That is pretty good. See, I never believed the volunteers, because I've been on those races. I'm pretty sure it was Montana where, you know, they're like, "You're almost there." I'm like, "I can still see the start line, dude." So stop. You're lying. So what kind of course is it? I know you said there's a lot of climbing, but, you know, is there any more? I mean, is it last year, I know, was heat. There was a lot of people that DNF for overheating and stuff like that. But what kind of course is it?
It's a little of everything, because, you know, you had the places where we were running, where we were on some road. So you did have, like, you know, four-wheeler roads, because it's a ski hill. So you had some roads. And then you had some areas for like single track. And then you had some areas where there was really no trail at all and you were just kind of bushwhacking. And then some, you know, shaley rock, sandy or dusty stuff. There was pretty much a little of everything. The only thing we didn't have much of, just only like two little spots, was mud. But otherwise, you pretty much got everything you came up with.
Nice. So, and I know you've done a few races. So how does that one compare in difficulty to some of the other ones you've done? I know you've done Montana, because we've done that one together. You've done Vegas, because we finished Vegas last year together. So how do you think that race compares to some of the others?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that. It's kind of funny to me, because I was reading people's posts about Palmerton and, you know, a lot of races back east. And I think a lot of, not just Kimberly, but a lot of races on the west side of the country, I don't think people realize they're kind of like hidden little gems of kick your butt races. And that's what I think of Kimberly is it's, I did Sun Peak and now I've done Kimberly and did Colorado, Breckenridge, 2016, when they took us up to 11,550 feet to do the sandbag carry. I think people realize we have some awesome climbing going on. It's not for the faint of heart. You better be ready to climb.
Yeah, I can get that, because I know I've been to the East Coast a few times, and the idea of a hill or a mountain, what they call a mountain on the East Coast, we call like a medium-sized hill. So I hear a lot of people from the East Coast that'll be talking about like, oh, it's a mountain race, this won't be a problem. And then they get over here and they're like, oh, that's a mountain? Oh, you know, yeah. It's like they don't understand. Yeah.
No. And I heard that even a lot this weekend, is people like, I thought I was ready for this. I climb hills at home. Where are you from? One gal was like, New Jersey. And I'm like, no. And she's like, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was in North Carolina once, and I remember they said, oh, yeah, you know, that's the biggest hill in the state. I'm like, that's like a 50-foot elevation gain over like a 500-foot, like, you know, length of area. I mean, that's my driveway at home.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's crazy like that. I mean, you know, so. So what got you into Spartan Race?
Well, it was kind of funny. I was, my kids were grown, and I just started, I didn't get into any kind of racing after I got out of high school. I stayed active. I mean, I'm a runner. I've been a runner all my life. I love to hike like a fiend. And, just kind of, I live in a rural area, so I don't really see a lot of people. I like have three neighbors, and they live like, you know, more than a football field away. So I just wanted to, I thought, oh, maybe I'll do this to meet people. So I started racing, and first I started, you know, with the usual of like a color run, dirty dash.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually was walking through somewhere, and there was like a year old poster on a wall for a Spartan. He said Big Fork, and I was like, what the heck's that? So I checked it out, and I was like, well, what the heck. I watched a few, you know, when I went to spartan.com, watched a couple little videos, maybe not nearly enough to know what I was getting into.
Yeah.
And and I just like on a whim just signed up for my first race, signed up to race, signed up to volunteer. I was like, threw myself right into it.
See, and that seems like the story I hear from most people. It's like me, I volunteered with a friend, went to Washougal, but I couldn't race because my hand, I had a huge cut on my hand. So I couldn't use my right hand, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll just volunteer and, you know, see what this is about. So, you know, I kind of saw Washougal, but I just saw the festival area. And I saw all these people having fun and coming off the race. They're like, yeah. And they're all dirty. And I'm like, that looks like fun. So I got the free race. And I'm like, well, I don't want to wait till Washougal next year. So what can I do before that? Oh, hey, there's a race in Montana. That'll be a great trip for me and the wife to take. And I can do a race and then, you know, whatever. And yeah, so I signed up for the 2015 Montana Beast as my first Spartan race. Yeah. And then we got there a day early, so I volunteered. Yeah, I volunteered again and got, you know, me and her both volunteered, so we got two pre-races, and then it's like, okay, and then I finished that race, and I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. But I had two pre-races, so, you know.
Yep. After Kimberly last year, I was, you know, super disappointed when we didn't get the trifecta weekend medal, and I was like, I am not doing this again. And then it came again, and I even talked to Spartan. I said, are we gonna get the trifecta weekend medal? You know, because I had swag whore, I admit it. So and they said yeah. So I signed up again.
Well, see, and that's what's driving me nuts, because last year when we were going to Hawaii, they said there wasn't confirmations, but there was people saying that there might be that, you know, weekend medal. And then Hawaii was canceled because of the hurricane. And this year, Spartan has been closed-lipped. there's been multiple people that have asked on like their websites and everything else and asked them directly, and they won't give a confirmed yes or no on whether or not there's going to be weekend trifecta medals for Hawaii. So there's a bunch of us going out there going, we hope that we're going to get this medal, but because this will be my first trifecta of the year, because I missed out on Montana because I had to have surgery a week before. So that's usually my first trifecta of the year. And then Hawaii is like trifecta number two. So I don't have a beast. I'm missing a beast. I've got two sprints and two supers and no beast.
And it's funny. Sometimes it's really hard to get them darn beasts.
Oh, yeah, it can be. And that's the problem that I run into is it's like this year I'm looking at it for the first time. I may be going to Tahoe because I need that third beast. And that's the only place I can get it that's even close to here. I mean, you know, in my in the time I could travel. So.
Yeah. That's the limit for me because I drive. I've just I didn't fly to races. I don't want to, you know, I try to keep my costs super. You know, I volunteer the heck out of it because I want to do these races. And the only way I can do them and make it work, you know, and be cost worthy for me, I drive. I mean, I get the least expensive place to stay or I camp. I've even slept in my car, pack a cooler, you know. So getting those races that are close to me, you got to work on it.
Yeah. And then that's the thing that we run into a lot is I mean, I don't know if you know Brandon. Of course, you know Brandon Chen. Brandon is really good at getting houses that are near the venue and all of that. And then going in with him and getting the Airbnb and staying with him, it ends up saving a bunch of money. I think last time I went to Montana, I spent $100 for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
You know, for the house, because there was so many of us that end up in it. So that's one thing is like finding that group and going with them, finding ways. And I mean, if you ever want to know how to do it cheap, talk to Brandon. That guy has figured out like how to do them all on the cheap because he goes to all the races and he drives to a lot and ends up saying, you know, he gets an Airbnb and just fills it up with people, you know.
Yep.
Like sometimes you're going to sleep on the floor, but you have a roof over your head.
Yeah.
But
as long as I get. Take the race
on.
I'm happy.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's like you said, a lot of us have done that, you know, sleep in a car or whatever just so we can, you know, get to a race. I mean, you know, it was a couple of years ago, I did the Seattle and I did the hurricane heat the night before. So it was, you know, we had to decide, you know, what are we going to do? Because it's only an hour drive home. But it's like if I'm going to do the hurricane heat and then come back tomorrow morning to race, you know, and then I'm racing the next day, we just ended up getting, you know, a hotel room up there and stuff like that. But it's like, you know, we had options of different people to stay with. And that's what you kind of have to, you know, what's great about being with the team is because you can work on that and find cheap so that we can all afford this because we're not all rich. No, none of us are.
No.
Like you said, you're retired from the state and that's the state of Montana, right? Yeah. And then you work for UPS now. So it's kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Most got to cover the insurance. That's the big one.
Yeah. And that's it. It's, you know, none of us are rich, so we're all trying to find the best and cheapest. And, you know, we want to keep doing our have our fun, but we got to be able to afford it, too.
That's it. Yeah. And, you know, because there's other things you want to do. Totally. I love my racing. But I do Spartan races, I do trail races, I do half marathons, and then, you know, I do stuff with my family. Stuff, you got a budget.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I know you're like me, where you have a spouse who goes to with you to the races sometimes, but doesn't race. So, because I've met your husband a few times, and you've met Amber, and neither one of them are race, but they're volunteer to get us races, but...
Like what you hear? Make sure and subscribe and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you're using YouTube, please click the little red subscribe icon, then click the little bell for notifications of future episodes. And if you could, give us a thumbs up.
So, yeah, I've met your husband at a couple races. And I mean, that's one thing, you know, with me and you, we've ran into each other. I think it was, 2 years ago in Vegas? when, like, right at the end, as I was coming around to that last bit, and all of a sudden there you are, I'm like, oh, Julia. And we ended up finishing the race together and having fun. So we run into each other all over the place, partly because we're street teams, so we see each other a lot, but you know, it's fun. So
yeah, we finished another race together too. Which one it was?
I think it was, was it Seattle? Might've been Seattle one year.
Yeah, it might've been Seattle. I think maybe it was Seattle last year.
Might've been.
Yeah.
Seattle this year, that was a cold, nasty mess that I've tried to forget about.
So. I don't blame you there.
It's one of those, and I've had this talk with a few people about Seattle. Seattle's a lot like it sounds like Kimberly is. You don't know what the weather is going to be like, so you kind of have to be ready for it. And a lot of people this year for Seattle were not ready for as cold as it was. And I have a weird thought on that where I'm pretty much like, you should train for the obstacles, not tell Spartan to move the dates.
Yeah, I don't think
if that makes
I saw
sense.
A lot of. Well, it doesn't mean, because I saw a lot of people just complaining and saying nasty stuff. And I thought, now, wait a minute here. You know, obstacles are one thing, but terrain, you mean, it's got a lot of parts to it. You got terrain, you got obstacles, and you got weather. And that's just life, people. You have to plan for that. And if you're not, then you're going to end up cold and wet. That's what happens. Or, you know, dehydrated or what. And so that's not on Spartan, that's on the individual.
Oh, no, I agree. And that's been my biggest thing, is I've said to a lot of people, is it's like, for me, it's like one of the reasons I love Spartan and I love, you know, all the obstacle course racing is that it taught me to stop looking for the easy way out. If that makes sense.
Exactly.
I don't look at something now and say, okay, this is too hard. You need to make it easier for me. It's more of, this is too hard. Obviously, I need to train or find better gear.
Yep, that's it.
And
prepare better.
Yeah, exactly, and prepare better. And I think we have too many people, you know, and I might make some people upset with this comment, but too many people nowadays that are too much like, okay, this is too hard for me. You need to make it easier. And it's like, that's not how the world works.
Nope.
No.
Kimberly, it was brutal with the heat, and I don't do well in the heat, but
I don't either.
I prepared, I had two of those cool things, one over my head, one over my neck, and I plugged along, and it was tough, but I knew what I was getting myself into, and I wouldn't, as much as it was hard, and I said some not nice stuff, and I'd never do it again, and then I did it this year, but I wouldn't have wanted them to make it easier, because I wanted to challenge myself.
Yeah. And that's just it. You know, I want the challenge. I mean, I figured that's the whole reason we started this in the beginning, right? Was because we wanted to challenge ourselves. You know, if everything was easy, it's going to be like, the movie WALL-E, where all of a sudden everyone's sitting in chairs and can't move anymore because they made everything too easy. And that's just kind of how I feel. We, you know, I've read Joe's books, Joe DeCina's, you know, Spartan Up and those ones. And he talks about that a lot, where it's like, challenge yourself every day. You know, you don't need to go to the gym, walk outside, pick up a log, pick up a rock. Challenge yourself every day. If you're not challenging yourself, you're not living.
That's how I've tried
to live my life.
Me too. You know, because we don't have much of a gym. You know, it's a little room basically with no windows. I'm like, I can't work out in there. And I made myself a little home gym at home. But I live in the beautiful mountains. There is no reason I can't go pick up a rock or a log or just run up the hill or trapeze on the mountain. I mean, I can do all that. I don't need somebody to give me an exercise equipment.
Yeah, no. And you don't. And I mean, I think that's one of the best things about those books is it really talks about that, how to basically, you know, don't use excuse to go to the gym. Walk outside. There's logs. There's heavy things all over your yard. Go pick one of them up. You know, find ways to use what's around you. Use your environment. You know, find ways to get yourself out of your comfort zone. You know, and that's what I think too many people nowadays, you know, there's so many things to keep people inside their comfort zone and, you know, phones and, you know, now movie theaters have recliners. I mean, there's too many things to make you comfortable. And I think a lot more people need to just get out of their comfort zone. Push yourself out. Go out and do one of these Spartans, you know, go out and do an event and get dirty. You know, I mean, I have so many people that, like, I've tried to convince to do mud runs. They're like, but I'm going to get dirty. And I'm like, who cares? You take a shower.
Exactly. I think, and it doesn't even have to be a Spartan. Anything, you know, just do something where you're out and you're active and you're challenging yourself. I mean, yeah, because I understand. I have friends who, they gave Spartan Race a try. They were one and done. But I thought it was totally cool.
It happens.
Yeah. But they found, you know, like one friend decides he loves triathlons. I'm like, okay, go for it. You're doing something.
Yeah. And that's just it. Get off the couch. You know, I have a daughter who's, you know, 22 now, I think. Something like that. I'm horrible at counting. But she hates being dirty. You know, we tried getting her to do a mud run and she walked around anything that had mud, anything that had dirt. But at least she went out there and kind of tried, you know. But it's like, get people off the couch, get out of your comfort zone, get out and do something. You know, you see way too many people that are trying to diet and they see these pictures and all these magazines and the supermodels. And, you know, it's like there was a while ago, I can't remember what magazine it was, so they had the plus size model. And I'm looking at her going, is she behind the camera? Because that's not a plus size model. You know, and they have this image of what women should be. So you get people, you know, doing horrible diets. It's like, just go out there, you know, look at the athletes. That's what you should look like. You know, you don't have to look like them, though. Look like who you are. You know, are you in shape? You know, you want to have a summer body? Do you have a body? Yeah. Then you have a summer body. I mean, it's just get out there and do something. Be active. Get out of your comfort zone. You know, don't listen to anybody else and let them define what you should or shouldn't look like.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what other races? You did mention earlier that you do other races besides Spartan. So you do trail runs, stuff like that. What other races do you do?
I haven't done any other OCRs, not because I don't want to, but mostly because of just logistics to where I live. So, but I, like I said, trail running is one of my favorite things ever. So I try to find trail races and trail ultras. The longest trail race I've done is 32 miles. And I've done a few of those. There's one right here in the Elkhorn Mountains, and I love it. It's like literally in my backyard. And there's another one coming up this weekend called the Thunderbolt Creek, and it's like just under 19 miles. But they're same thing. You're getting out, you're running the trails. And I like the trail running because that's all I've ever really done. Road racing kind of pounds my legs. And
yeah.
So
it kills my knees.
Yeah. And people don't realize, people think that trail running would be harder than road running. And trail running, you have to learn how your body moves on uneven terrain, which is super important. But road running, roads do it all. So they really pound your body.
No. Yeah, it's that hard concrete or hard asphalt, just bam, 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 and it's all. Yeah, it'll kill my knees.
Yeah. My feet hurt when I get done with the road race. I run a few of them, but my feet literally just ache.
Yeah.
With the trail.
Oh, yeah. So what plans do you have for the rest of the year? You got more races set up this year, or are you done, you know, done until next year?
Oh, heck no. I run all year long. I run clean winter. My next race will be the Utah, doing the new venue in Utah this weekend, doing Super in the spring. I get a week break.
Nice.
And I will be in Colorado at the new venue for Snowmass, doing the Beast. And then I'm running kind of a fun half marathon near Mesa Falls outside in Idaho with some friends at the end of August. And then I'll be at Seattle for the Beast and Tahoe for the Beast.
Well, I'll see you there for that. I should see you there for that too.
Yeah. And then I need to make up one super. I'm short one super for a 5-time trifecta. So I will be running the super in Laughlin, and I've never run Laughlin before either. So that'll be a new one. So got a lot of new venues this year.
That's awesome. See, I've thought about that too, is I've thought about going to the East Coast. Cause I'm so, you know, I do all the races around here, but it's like, I kind of want to go to the East Coast and try some of those, you know. Mainly, I want to go to, like, the East Coast. Amber wants to go to Florida, so she doesn't care. If it's a 5K, she'll let me go to Florida for that as long as she can go with me. But, so I want to go to some more of the East Coast ones. I want to try some of that stuff. I mean, I see so many of the cool races on the East Coast that we didn't get over here, some of the other brands, stuff like that. So, but I do want to go try some of the Spartan races. I would love to go to Killington. In Vermont,
oh, yeah.
Just because that's where it started.
Where it start? Yep.
Yeah.
That's definitely a dream for me, is I would go do, you know, let's go bigger. Well, not super big. I don't know if I'd do the ultra, but I'm pretty dang sure I would definitely do a beast at Killington. I would love to do that. Give it a risk.
Yeah, see, I think I'm one of those ones. I've thought about this, and I think I'm at that point. I think I was ever able to actually get myself back to the shape that I should be in, that I was in 10 years ago, and I was going to do an ultra. I think the ultra I'd want to do is Killington, just because, one, it would kill me, and two, it's where it started. The stories I've heard about the Killington ultra is just, you know, that's like Joe's backyard. Joe, like, makes that one, you know. That pretty much, if you get that belt, you earn that belt buckle, you know, and that's kind of what I want, is I want that belt buckle. I want it to be one of those things that, you know, that I feel so amazing that I earned this, that I want to be buried with it, kind of thing. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. Yeah. I'm going to do the Montana, though. I'm signing up for it.
For the what?
Montana Ultra. I'm going to do it. That's in my backyard.
Is it that they haven't had the Ultra there before, have they?
No, this will be the first year. No,
ooh.
2020. Yeah.
Oh,
got to do it.
I don't think I'm ready for that. I'm not ready for an Ultra. When I can do a beast in less than 6 hours, I'll think about an Ultra. But I mean, everyone knows me. I'm a little big. I'm a little slow. And, you know, I've been the last finisher in Montana at 13 and a half hours. And that was just a beast. So, I mean, an ultra, until I can do one under, if I finish an ultra under six, or a beast under 6 hours, I will go for the ultra.
All right.
But I got to finish, I got to get under 6 hours. So.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I think it's.
So is there. What was that?
I said, I think that's a good plan.
Yeah. I just want to make sure it's one of those things. If I'm going to put myself out to do a race that I know is that difficult, I want to make sure I don't put myself out there in a way that I know I'm going to fail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if I know I'm not going to make those cuts, you know, there's no point.
That's it. So. And that's why, you know, I'm really focusing on training even more, because I know I can, I know I have the endurance, but I'm just not speedy runner. So I got to really work on, you know, I just got to work on some more.
And see, that's me, is I know I have that endurance. I know I always feel there's a race I've been on, you know, and I make a comment about this when I did my full marathon a couple of weeks ago, that I feel like this Richard Bachman story, it's called The Long Walk, where pretty much I can walk forever. I can just go and go and go and go, but I'm not fast. So it's like, you know, the marathon, I just went for 26 miles, 26.2 miles. I did it. It took me 8 hours, but I just kept going, you know, that's like me on some of the beats, you know, 13 and a half hours on the Montana beats. I just kept walking. I can do that. I'm not fast, but I'm one of those people that I can just keep going and keep going and keep going. But for an ultra, there's time hacks. You know, I could probably walk one and do, you know, make it? Probably, but I wouldn't be able to make the time hack.
Yep.
You know.
Nothing is the time hacks, because because I'm not fast uphill, but I can get downhill pretty fast. But then, of course, I think I do fine on the obstacles probably on the first loop, but then the second loop, I'm a little worried about just, you know, your arms get a little shaky, you know, things like that.
Yep.
So, and I'd be doing burpees, which takes more time. So got to get that all figured in, you know?
Yeah. And that's me. I mean, I know I can walk and just keep walking forever, but I know my arms, you know, one of the big problems that I have is especially in heat and when I exercise, my hands swell. So my biggest problem is once I get, you know, I'm pretty sure once I got that first loop, I might be okay. But during that second loop, my hands will swell to a point that I'm not gonna be able to grab anything. So I've got to figure out a way, one, to get healthy enough that I'm not swelling like that. And two, to be able to, you know, do that in a quick enough time. So I'll get there. I will. My goal, that's one on my bucket list is to do, you know, to do an ultra. So I want one of those belt buckles. But it's on that.
Gotta have one. Looks too darn. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well. It's been great talking to you. What do you have? Anything else you want to say to the listeners? To you know, in closing, about you know why they should do a Spartan. You know, any of that fun stuff.
I think you should just camaraderie. The people are amazing.
Yeah.
So one thing I got to say is, like my first sprint, I had two severe asthma attacks 3 months before the sprint, like to one almost dying, and I was a little iffy when I showed up for that race that day, but there I am. And it took me 4.5 hours to do a sprint because of my asthma. I was struggling. And here I am. The thing that stuck with me, what actually cemented me into Spartan racing was I am on this hillside. I am panting. I am just like praying I can breathe. This guy walks past me and he kind of pats me. He says, good job. And I'm like, I'm just standing here. And he says, yeah, but you're doing it, aren't you? And I was like, that's all it took. Like, yes, I am. And that was it. I was done. And I mean, the people, that's what I would say in all the negative we got in this world, they are some super awesome people that do these races. And it's just people are laughing. You're climbing up a mountain and you're dying and we're cracking jokes and it just puts life into perspective. Do it for just that.
It really does. No, yep. I agree completely.
Yep, that'd be it.
Nope, I agree completely. I mean, I've been out there on that course and you feel like you're going to die and you get that person that, you know, you can tell has been working out since like the day they came out of the womb and they look at you and they're like, good job. And you're like, really? I'm dying and I'm like, 100 pounds overweight and you tell me good job and it's like you got off the couch. You know, it's one of my favorite sayings that I tell everyone all the time. I beat everybody who's sitting on the couch.
Exactly.
I may be the last person across the finish line, but I beat every single person who did not get up today and even attempt this.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you for talking to me, Julia. This has been a great, fun episode. Yeah. And then I can't wait to see you in Seattle.
Yep. Sounds like a blast, man. We're going to have some good times.
Oh, yeah. As always. Thank you, Julia.
Thanks.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we will come back with another interview.
Does your business need first aid, AED, OSHA, flagging, or other safety training? James Safety Services is your one-stop shop. Find them on Facebook today at James Safety Services WA and ask for a quote on hosting your training needs.
Hey, everybody. We're back from break, and now I've got with me Timothy Quayle. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing good. And you?
I'm doing good. So one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, the first half of this episode is with a friend of mine, Julia. We were talking about Kimberly, and I wanted to get a second perspective on this. So tell me how, your thoughts on Kimberly.
Well, for one, it was a little bit better than last year. You know, the weather was nice, and, you know,
yeah,
still pretty difficult for me anyway.
Yeah. So I know last year was horrible. Because you DNF'd, correct?
Yeah, they cut me off about like 5 o'clock, and I wasn't even like 3/4 of the way through.
Ooh,
very. Yeah, it pissed me off.
Yeah, and part of that though was the heat on that one, wasn't it? I mean, last year, from what I understand, it was some pretty nasty heat on that race.
Oh yeah, it was. Well, I didn't have the temperature on me, but I was hearing it was like over 100 degrees or something like that.
Ugh. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was unbearable.
Crazy. So, out of all the races that you've done, where would you put that on the difficulty scale?
What, last year? That was probably like the most difficult one I did. The hills were just way too intense for me.
Yeah. So, how did it feel this year to go back and how did you do this year?
Well, luckily I had, you know, a couple friends help me out, and, you know, I passed, got my nice medal, but I'd still put it pretty far up there because they split it up a little bit, but it still felt like never-ending hills.
Yeah, that's what I've heard on that course. So you think you'll do it again?
You know what? Probably. I'll probably try it again, see if I can at least do better and get a better time than this time.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, because last year you said you'd never go near Kimberly again, and then all of a sudden, you know,
I got convinced
you're there
to
again.
Do it this time. Yeah, I got convinced.
Yeah, I know. You got
friends.
You've got the same friends as I do. I know which friends you're talking about. We're talking about Jody and Brandon.
Oh, of course. You know, if it wasn't for them and for Jeff, I probably won't even been able to finish it this time.
Yeah. But on all honesty, if it had been for Jody, you wouldn't have been there to begin with. But So while I've got you, I mean, we talked a little bit about Kimberly and what a wonderful course that is. So I hear it's a lot of up, down, crazy hills and all that kind
of
stuff.
Never ending hills.
But they do. Did you do the whole trifecta?
Yeah. More or less.
You did the whole trifecta in a weekend. Because
it
starts like Friday is the sprint, correct? And then they do the beast and the super on Saturday and Sunday?
Yep.
I almost think I would like that better than the way we're doing it in Hawaii, where Hawaii's the, you know, beast on Saturday, and then you do the super right, and then the sprint right after. I'd almost like it better to do like the sprint on Friday.
Oh yeah, it'd be nice to split it up because then you don't have really any time constraints to hit the next race.
Yeah, because I know that was a big problem we had in Hawaii, was a lot of us trying to finish the super in enough time to get you know, back to do the sprint. So I think it'd be nice to have, you know,
cut people off.
Yeah. Cause that's always my biggest worry, that I'm going to finish the super and I'm not going to have enough time to get to the sprint. And I know two years ago in Hawaii, I had enough time. I barely had enough time, but I did. But I didn't do it. I should have. Looking back, I should have, but you know, at that same time, I just wasn't feeling it. So
that's killed me that 2 years ago also.
Yeah. I can remember that because we didn't really know each other yet. We'd met a couple times, but weren't really close yet. And I remember I was at the luau and I'm like, that dude up there dancing looks a lot like Tim. This guy looks a lot like Tim. That is Tim. I'm pretty sure somewhere. I do have a video. I have a video, I think, of you doing it. Because I think I took a video and I sent it to someone. I'm like, is that Tim?
You had to get confirmation before you came up.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure that's Tim. Yeah.
It was a good time.
It was. Hawaii was a blast, so. And I am looking forward to going back this year, so.
Yeah. I won't be going this year, but perhaps next year.
Right on. It's a great one. We all love Hawaii. But what got you into this crazy sport?
Well, first off, I actually started Rugged Maniac first with one of my friends. He suggested, hey, let's do this. It looks fun. I'm like, sure, let's do it. And next thing I know, afterwards, I run into Stevie. And she's like, there's one a lot better. It's called the Spartan Races. And my first one was
good old Stevie.
Seattle. Oh, yeah. The first one I did was the Seattle Super in 2015.
Wow.
And
so was that the...
Yeah, I started right into it.
That was the Super that they did in September, October. So, because a lot of people don't realize that the first Seattle race in October in 2015 was a Super. They didn't do the beast until 2016. So,
and they didn't throw in all the extra sprints until later.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was me. I did Montana in 2015 and then did Washougal. And then I was like, well, what am I going to do? I had an extra free race and I needed a super to get my trifecta. And then they announced Seattle. And I'm like, oh, I can get a trifecta right here in Washington. So... Yeah.
My first year, I didn't get the trifecta. It was 2016 I got my first.
Yeah. Yeah.
I realized after I did the 8, I was like, oh, I should train more for this.
Yeah. That's how most of us get. We do this, and then we're like, you know, we probably should have trained before we did this. But.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, what races do you have left this year?
The Seattle Beast and Washougal are my last ones that I know. Unless I pick some stuff up in a second, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, no one's told you yet that you're going to Tahoe with us, but no.
All right. That's still in the maybe bracket. This all depends on time and money.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know it yet, but you'll end up out there with us. I know it. Just like I kind of suckered into it this year, but yeah.
Well, I did it last year and, you know, want to go after it again.
Yeah, I mean, I miss Montana, so yeah. Tahoe is my makeup
Montana's
for Montana.
On the books for plus, next year.
Yeah, plus, you know, we have BeastNet. We got invited by Spartan Media to go down there.
To
Tahoe.
That's awesome.
So that'll be fun. That'll be a neat new thing we haven't done before. So yeah. So Stevie got you. Well, your friend got you into rugged, and Stevie talked you into Montana. I'm hearing rumor that Stevie might be back this year. So
I'm hoping for it. So. I miss her seeing her on the course.
Yeah. Well, Stevie was my original race wife. As most people know, Serena's like, you know, my race wife right now that I share with Justin. It's a weird triangle thing we got going, but, and don't worry, all of our wives are okay with it. You know, his wife, her wife, my wife, they all know what's going on. But, yeah, Stevie was my original race wife that we did Montana a couple years together. We did Seattle. We did all the races that were together. You know, usually if we were racing, we were together. And it's been really, really tough since she got hurt, you know, not having her there by my side to get me through that. So the motivation can be tough sometimes.
It's always good to have that motivational support.
Yeah, having that right teammate, you know, can really change things. It's, you know, the Montana in 2016, when, you know, everything went bad and me and Stevie and Jody and Emmy were out there for 13 and a half hours. If Stevie hadn't been with me, I don't think I could have done it. You know, Stevie and Jody kept me going. I wanted to quit many a time, but the three of us kept each other going. So no, they won't. So, and I'm looking forward to having Stevie back with us. So that'll be awesome. So what else would you say about what would you tell people who want to go do Kimberley? If someone came up to you and said, you know, I'm thinking of doing Kimberley next year. What would you say to them?
I'll tell them be prepared to climb a lot of mountains. Because it's never ending. You need to get ready to be able to walk up and keep going.
Yeah.
You think you're prepared for it, but you're probably not.
Oh, yeah. Be ready for the hills. Take lots of water. Be hydrated.
Oh, they had a lot more water stations this year, but still, just going up those hills, you're going to probably suck it all down before you even get to the next water point.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You got to be they have water stations all the time to Spartan, but you still got to be ready just in case they don't. Because I know that happened to us in Hawaii in 17, where they ran out. There was like 8 miles that we went without water. We were out of water, and every water station we came up to was out. Yeah, it was bad. So you always want to make sure you have that. Right on. So is there anything else you'd want to say to the listeners while I got you on the phone here?
Well, you know, just because, you know, it's a lot of bad hills, you know, I'd still go again and, you know, recommend for people to at least give it a try and see what they think about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, always trust your teammates. They're there for you to keep you going. Even if you want to quit, they're there to motivate you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. And we got some of the best teammates, so yeah. Not just in the beats, we got the best of the beats. We've got Jody, and you know, sorry with the rest of the beats. I don't mean to like make it sound like you're not as good, but you know,
everyone in the beats is there to support each other, and you know,
they are
good friends.
Like you and Jody and Stevie, you guys are all my speed, so you guys are my. You're my partners in crime. You know, the other guys, Jeff and Elise and Adam and, you know, Jesse and Brian Kays, all those guys, they're way faster than me. So they're gone, like, way gone. They've lapped me through it three times, but they're still great teammates.
But even then, if they're faster, you know, sometimes they'll, you know, stay back and support you if you need it.
Oh, yeah. Right on. Well, you know, if you don't have anything else to say about Kimberley, you know, thank you for talking to me and letting me know a little bit about, you know, kind of how Kimberley was and all that. And I hope to see you out there on course really soon.
Oh, yeah, man. Hope to see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, no problem, man. Catch you later.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast. If you haven't done it yet, find us on Facebook. Like and share the podcast. Give us a review on iTunes or Spotify. All these things will help to expand the show in the future. This show is brought to you by James Safety Services in partnership with Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you like to hear. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or at beastocr.com.